Father, we've come tonight with an open heart, a hungry heart. We're thirsty. Father, feed us manna from heaven. Give us the drink of heaven tonight. And Father God, as we receive from you, we thank you for changed lives, changed thinking, transformation. Thank you for restoration, acceleration, all these things that you've spoken to us about. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, because you only are worthy. And everyone that's in faith and agreement said real loud, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad to see you this evening. Amen. Then you may be seated. It's a joy to be with you, to be home at my home church. I know I pastor, but this is home. Amen. It's a great honor to be with you this evening on your midweek service. Praise God. We just declare Pastor Nancy and the family are getting what they need to get at the conference. Praise the Lord. Any revelation, any impartation, amen, visitation, whatever. I declare it comes in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're honored that Pastor Nancy asked us to minister this evening. Being that she and the family are out, I'm feeling a little ornery, and I thought I'd just say something. Thinking about doing something ornery, I thought maybe we could just put, take that biggest picture right there. Isn't this beautiful up here, by the way? This is the first time I've seen it in person. On TV, it's beautiful. It's even better in person. But I just thought maybe we could take that big picture right there and replace it with a great big picture of Stephen. And then when he comes back, he would know how much we have been thinking about him and hold him in a place of honor. And just kidding. I'm just kidding. I appreciate Brother Stephen. Isn't he a blessing? He's a blessing to me. I love when he gets up and preaches. But anyway, I just thought I'd say something honorary because he's not here. But did you bring your Bible this evening? I want to, if you brought your Bible, I want to go to the book of Romans, the 3rd chapter, to begin with. I was going to go another direction until I had lunch with Pastor Noel. Oh, man. Got in the Holy Ghost, and sure enough, we're going a different direction tonight. Now, if at the end of the service you have to say, well, that just wasn't very good preaching, then you can blame it on Pastor Noel. But the 3rd chapter of Romans, I want to read with you in your Bibles, with you at the 27th verse. Paul's talking about the blood being made right through the blood in previous verses. And verse 26 declares his righteousness. He's our justification and our righteousness. And verse 27, where is boasting then? In other words, if he did this for us, where can we boast in? Yeah. Amen. Amen. It is excluded. Boasting is done away. Then he said, by what law? Of works? No, he said, but by the law of faith. Yeah. By the law of faith. And so there are spiritual laws, according to this verse, just like there are natural laws. And, the book of Romans says in the 1st chapter, we're here in the 3rd chapter, but if you were to back up in the 1st chapter, he talks about that spiritual things, or the things of God, are known and understood by the things that are made. Natural creation, in other words. That's Romans 1:20. And so, Jesus, when he preached, he used illustrations. He talked about fish nets and vines and branches and many different illustrations. And he brought natural, he used spiritual, well, let's just say the natural creation, illustrations from natural creation to teach the people about spiritual laws and spiritual things and the way the kingdom of God worked. Isn't that right? He used many parables, many illustrations like that from the natural world. And so we see here in Romans 3:27 that there are spiritual laws. One of them is called the law of faith. And that law is understood by some things also in the natural world. And I want to talk to you tonight about some of that in relation to what the Spirit of God said to Pastor Nancy, through Pastor Nancy, about this year. Yeah. about acceleration. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to learn tonight some things how to cooperate with this acceleration. Because there are spiritual laws that that we can operate in to so to speak, what would you say, spur on what God's saying that he wants to do. In other words, to cooperate, to agree with him. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And so we're going to look at some of that tonight. We're going to actually just sort of start preaching this out. I sense there's more revelation than what he even came to the pulpit with. That God wants to get out about this, but I'm just going to start giving out what I got and just believe God for revelation on it. Because some things started stirring on the inside of me a few days before I came out here, and those things just, I believe are going to help us walk by faith in agreement for acceleration this year. Amen. You know, there's so much in what the Spirit of God said. I don't know, did you all get a handout with that printed out? I'm not sure how she did that. There's so much. You need to say that and agree with that, even when you're, what was said by the Spirit, even when your head doesn't understand it all and can't say, what does that actually mean? Just agree with it and begin to say it, because there will revelation come as you do of what it means. Yes, what it means for you. Amen. The Spirit of God, whenever this is something he said to our congregation, he said to me about our congregation, I'll kind of give you a little insight into it, but he started tailoring it to us, in me, in our congregation, in our ministry, taking some of the things that were said and tailoring it for us. And so briefly, I'll mention what that is, he's basically, I had two different dreams in the course of about 2 weeks, and both of them, both dreams, there was a financial miracle that took place in our ministry in both dreams. And in both dreams, I started in the dream laughing in the Holy Ghost and woke up in the Spirit laughing in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Because of the financial breakthrough, yeah. The financial miracle. And, you might think this is a silly question, but I've learned when I'm in the Spirit to ask questions of the Lord. If it's in the Spirit, if it's in the mind and the mental, in the flesh, you're not probably going to get any answer. But when you're in the Spirit and something's in your heart, I've learned to ask those questions. And when I woke up from the second one laughing in the Holy Ghost, I said to the Lord, I said, maybe this is an obvious question, but tell me what this means. This second dream I had, tell me what this means. I mean, you might think, well, this is obvious, Pastor Jay. I mean, get a clue. But I've learned, I want to hear what he has to say about it. And so I asked him, I said, Lord, what does this mean? And I don't have the actual wording exactly here tonight, how he exactly said it. But he said to me regarding the dream, he said, this, and it has to do with that restoration part that Pastor Nancy preached, by the Spirit got and prophesied. He said to me concerning our ministry, he said, this year, 2018, for you is a year of restoration of what you should have had during your years of obedience in ministry in this phase of your ministry. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he began to talk to me about it. He began to remind me of Galatians 6:7, 8, 9, and down through there. In 9 it says, in due season you'll reap if you faint not. If you don't faint, you'll reap. Payday. Payday may not come with God every Friday night, like Brother Hagin always said, but it always comes if you don't quit. And he said to you, this year will be the year called due season. He said, due season's not always off in the future sometimes. Due season, if you don't quit, it comes into the present. And he said, this year for you will be the year of due season. You look back and you say, God paid up, God settled the accounts, God got back whatever I was supposed to have during my faithfulness in that obedience in that phase. Well, I already did it. I preached myself happy. Hallelujah. So he'll take what the Spirit of God's saying to all of us generally, and he'll talk to you specifically about what it means. Glory to God. And there's a whole lot more to that, but, we'll just move on here tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The time comes when God says, that belongs to them. Now, devil, Yeah, because they've been using their faith. And they haven't quit. And they haven't, you know, backed out of the plan of God because, you know, there was a lot of stealing going on from me while I was being obedient to the plan of God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Pastor Juan, take it, brother. So, but I want to look more at this area of acceleration.
Amen.
Would that be all right?
Amen.
Let's look at this area of acceleration. Put on your seatbelt. Because we're accelerating. I remind you, Pastor Ruby just mentioned some of this. I didn't get a printout. I recorded this off of a recording. I listened to the recording of what the Spirit of God said through Pastor Nancy. So if I get a few of these words wrong, you'll understand that it's not an exact transcription. But some of the things that were said, of course, in the context of restoration and some of the other things, Pastor Ruby just mentioned it. What does 2018 hold for us? As a congregation, speaking to you as a congregation, I'm getting in on this because I call this home.
Come on.
As a congregation, acceleration as a congregation. Acceleration spiritually. Acceleration financially and in supply. Acceleration with divine assistance. Then that the angels of heaven, I see that, Father, a dispatching of another rank of angels, not just a couple, dispatched to assist the progression of the plan.
Yes.
I've been saying that lately, that the angels are assisting me to bring the plan of God to pass, assisting me as I walk out the plan.
Amen.
And assisting the progression of the plan. So we receive that. As a church family, we receive that. Say, I've received that. We believe and receive divine assistance that angels bring. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. That they help us and assist us in accomplishing the will of God. So, Father, as a congregation, we consecrate ourselves to your will and your plan, acceleration with divine assistance. Divine assistance, the year of divine assistance, the year of divine acceleration. Then she went on to prophesy. The revelation is what is going to, I'm skipping a few things. I'm just pulling out the parts about the acceleration. It's probably not real safe to do that because this all goes together. The restoration goes into it, but I'm trying to save a little time here. And she went on by the Spirit of God and said, the revelation is what is going to bring the acceleration. Revelation brings acceleration, and we're going to look at some of that tonight. Then he said through her Pastor Nancy later, closer to the end, some of you, maybe, I don't remember if this part was actually just her sharing out of her heart, if it was actually the spirit of prophecy, but she said it. I believe that she was saying what the Lord put in her heart. Some of you who have businesses tucked away in your heart, it's time for them to blossom. It's time for them to bloom. Amen. And she was talking about that in the context of acceleration. So I just want to start digging around in that a little bit tonight. We'll see where we go. You got your ears open. You got your heart open. You got your spiritual antenna up. Praise the Lord. We're going to just start going into this and preach it out. We'll see how it comes out. But first of all, I want to go over to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. I guess you're in the 3rd chapter. Just jump over a couple pages. We find in, let's see here, Romans, not the 8th chapter, the 9th chapter. Verse number 28. Just some things that were coming up in my spirit this afternoon about this. The 28th verse, talking about the time we're living in. He's talking about the end times. If you look at the context, he talks about in verse 28, he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. There's a verse you don't hear a lot about, but he's talking about our day. Let's read it again. He will finish the work and cut it short. He's talking about the work of gathering in the harvest, the work of the end times, finishing this thing before Jesus comes back. He'll finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now, the word short here, it's mentioned. It's mentioned twice there. The word short doesn't just mean short. It means to shrink in time. It means to cut short. It means to hurry something up. So he's talking about an acceleration. Everybody still here? And so he says that in these last days, that's a prophecy actually, that these last days will see acceleration of things. That's what the Spirit of God was prophesying through Pastor Nancy, talking to us about it. What was he talking to us about it for? To get our attention on it so we can start using our faith for it. Because how many of you know when God wants to do something, he has to have somebody in the earth believe in him for it. Even when Jesus came into the earth, he had to have some people. We know we have record of at least two of them, Anna and Simeon, in the temple believing God for what had been spoken, as it was spoken by the prophet Isaiah and the prophets. Well, he had to have somebody in the earth using their faith for it to come to pass. And so the Spirit of God spoke to us about acceleration because we're in the time of acceleration. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the time we're living in. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't shout on that, you'll shout on the Amplified version of it. The Amplified says, "The Lord will execute his sentence upon the earth. He will conclude and close his accounts with men completely and without delay." Whoa. Now, that doesn't jump in you like it does me because the Lord is talking to me about it. He will conclude and close his accounts with men completely and without delay, cutting it short in his justice. So what he's talking about is right here at the end, before Jesus comes back, God is saying, I have to settle every account. You know, every one of us have an account with God. In fact, every human being, saved or unsaved, has an account with God. The book of Philippians talks about our account with God. Paul talked about it whenever he said, you've given once and again unto my necessity, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Yeah. Your account, your heavenly account. Yeah. The seeds you sow, what you do to assist the work of God. Yeah. Hello? The prayer that you present to the Father to bring in the plan of the Father. All that you're doing in this last days, what that is an account with God. And God says, whatever you sow, I won't be mocked in Galatians chapter 6. I won't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And he said in the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, talking about people who go out and preach the gospel and leave things behind, he said they'll receive a hundredfold now in this time. So there's some things that have to happen in this time that will not be paid off in heaven. Heaven's going to be good. Don't misunderstand me. But there's some things he said I got to settle up with them in the earth before they go on to heaven. Because I said I will not be mocked. Well, normally, whatever we sow finances, we bring our supply to our local church, whatever we do, bringing our supply, praying, believing God, whatever we do to assist in the work of God, normally, there's the principle, there's the law in the earth, seed, time, and harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. There's normally a normal, natural period of time between the time we sow and we reap. Anybody understanding what I'm talking about? What he's saying in this end time is going to be what has been seed, time, and harvest is going to be seed, time, and harvest. Then seed, time, and harvest. Then seed, time, and harvest. Then seed, time, and harvest. Getting shorter and shorter. Shorter and shorter. It's a working of the miraculous in these last times because of the glory of God in which everything is sped up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There is a hastening. There is a quickening because here at the end, everything that has been prophesied has to come to pass. And so there's going to be a lot of things coming to pass right before Jesus comes back. It has to because he said it was going to happen. It has to happen. And we're living in that time where everything's going like that, and it's all going to have to come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Over in the book of Amos, it prophesies that the sower, the reaper will overtake the sower and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, or however that said. He's talking about our day, and he's talking about this all coming. It's all. He's shortening time. He's shrinking up time. He's got to conclude and close his accounts. You ever closed an account at the bank? You got to pay out everything. You got to wait until all the checks you wrote for the electric bill and whatever, you got to wait till all those things are paid out. Then you can close the account. Yeah. Amen. Isn't that right? Yeah. Well, God's got to pay out everything that's due. All the seed we've sown, all the faith we've sown, all the praying, all the believing God, he has to settle up on all that.
Hallelujah.
Settle up on all that. Come on. Listen, time's short. Jesus is coming back. Glory. It's this time of acceleration of all things. Pastor Nancy, when she was under the Spirit during that prophecy, I would encourage you, yes, read it on the paper, but keep on going back to the video and play it and listen to it. Because one of the things that was said on there is it's time not just for addition, it's time for multiplication. You know, things accelerate much quicker when you multiply them. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
2 × 2 = what? 4. Okay, what if we add 2 + 4? That's 6. But what if we go 2 × 4? Oh, that's 8. That's a little further faster.
Yeah.
So when you move from addition to multiplication, things are sped up. Things are sped up. I don't know how you can sit there like that. So between now and the time Jesus comes back, this era will be accelerating more and more and more. There'll be more and more acceleration. That's why there'll be more and more of the miraculous. That's why there are healings which things begin to amend, and over a period of time there are recoveries. That'll be something we'll see until Jesus comes. But there'll also be a whole lot more. Boom, there it is. It's called a miracle of healing. In the name of Jesus, boom, there's the arm. Acceleration. Acceleration. So we've got to reap all this before Jesus comes back. Now go over to Hebrews chapter number 4. Remember, before Dr. Dufresne went to heaven, he would always say, If we don't see some of these things more and more, I'm going to go to the throne of grace and say, that was the pop.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, there's more here.
Amen.
Ever since the beginning of the year, you're going to Hebrews 4, but ever since the beginning of the year, I have been, well, actually it started back at the end of 2017. I just had a divine urge to pray more in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you can just stir yourself up to pray in the Holy Ghost. And God will honor that. But I had a divine compelling. I mean, it was almost grievous to even eat breakfast before I spent an hour praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm not getting legalistic about it, but I'm just saying that's that urge. It was just an urge on the inside. And I've been praying in the Holy Ghost and praying in the Holy Ghost, and I've been noticing something. Because I'm in a transition into another phase of ministry, and I've been noticing the more I pray in the Holy Ghost, the more pop, 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 pop. Things in that next phase start popping.
Amen.
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 And things are accelerating.
Amen.
We've had more healings in our church in the last month than I think we had all year last year. Praise God. Some just amazing things. We had a lady came and she had, I think before, I don't remember how many days or a week before the service that this happened in, she woke up one morning. She had always had, her vision was always fine, but she woke up one morning and she opened her eyes and kept blinking because she couldn't see. It was blurry. Anything beyond 15 feet was blurry. She just couldn't, you know, it's like, what is going on? And she started claiming her healing and everything. Because just overnight, we still don't know what happened. She didn't know what happened. But she's taken her stand of faith, and she's not going to just accept that. How many of you know we only accept what's from heaven, not anything under the curse? So she started making her claim of faith. She said, you know, well, Lord, while my faith is working here, I have to drive. I got things I got to do. So she got her, prescription. They tested her out, got her prescription, because not out of unbelief, but just so she didn't have to stop driving and all that. She got things she got to do. So she said, it's working in the name of Jesus. But she got this prescription. In the process of a few days before it came, the prescription glasses came, she was sitting in one of the services, and I got under one of those, let's see, how do I say this nice? Get in your face services by the Spirit, not out of fleshy in your face, but by the Holy Ghost, just getting in real strong on attending to the word concerning your healing. And she was sitting there and she's like, Lord, I see it. Not out of condemnation, but out of the Spirit of God speaking to her. I see where I got off. I see where I missed it. I got my eyes off the word regarding some things about healing. And she just said, she closed her eyes, sat there in the seat, closed her eyes and said, Lord, I see it. Lord, I make that adjustment. She opened her eyes and looked over. There's an exit sign about 50 feet away, and she looked over and she could see it perfectly. She blinked, she could see it perfectly. She looked back at me and she could see my face perfectly. She looked at everything, could see it perfectly. Just instantly restored, just like that. Hallelujah. And more we're seeing that starting to happen. There's an acceleration of some things. Praise the Lord. Have you found Hebrews chapter number 4? Look with me in verse number, where am I at? Chapter 2, I'm sorry. I wrote it down wrong in my notes. That's why it's not looking right. Hebrews 2, verse number 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. And what I wanted to point out in that passage is diverse miracles. The term diverse. Diverse miracles means different kinds. There are miracles of healing. You know, healing is the recovery of the body from a disease condition. But there are things beyond just healing.
That's right.
There are miracles of healing.
Yeah.
But then there's miracles of nature. For example, the splitting of the Red Sea. There are miracles of provision and multiplication, like Jesus feeding the 5,000 and things like that. There's different kinds of miracles.
Yeah.
The definition for miracle is, Brother Hagin so eloquently shared all these and taught us about all these things. The definition of a miracle is a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. In other words, it gets on ordinary. The power of God gets on ordinary and intervenes on what is normally ordinary, and something that is unordinary happens.
Yeah.
It's not ordinary that fish and loaves, they multiply.
That's right.
So it's a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. Say nature.
Nature.
What part of nature, if you went to science class, you know this. Part of nature is the realm of space and time.
That's right.
Time is a part of natural creation. You know, when you get into the spirit, there's no time. How many of you have ever noticed that? That's where young people in spiritual things miss it sometimes. They get over in the spirit and they see the plan of God for their life and they think it's all right now. Some of it might be 30 years out in the future.
That's right.
It seems like it's right now because there's no time in the spirit realm. Some of the things that I saw when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost and got a hold of the Word of Faith message as a Mennonite kid back there in Pennsylvania. I first reading those books, I got so filled with the Holy Ghost reading those books, I started seeing in the Spirit, seeing the miracles and things God was going to do through my life and ministry. And some of those things I'm just now stepping into. And that was when I was 18. Was when I was 16 years old. I'm just a few days over 16 years old now. Well, can you see what I'm talking about? Time is a part of natural creation. And so whenever diverse miracles is mentioned here, diverse means different kinds. One of the categories of miracles, what the Spirit of God is prophesying about, talking about through Pastor Nancy, is the acceleration of things.
Yeah.
What would normally take a certain amount of time is going to be accelerated.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Take, for example, a couple examples that we could think of. Jesus turned the water into wine. Well, first of all, it turned from water into grape juice, but then the grape juice process of going from grape juice to wine was sped up.
Yeah.
Because normally that takes, I don't know, I'm not a winemaker. But normally that takes, what, months? I don't know.
Years?
But it all happened within just a moment.
Yes.
It turned into grape juice and then it fermented and became, he said, better wine than the first wine.
Right.
Hallelujah. God don't make no junk.
Amen.
Isn't that right? How about whenever Jesus calmed the storm, they were going over to the other side, and then it said immediately they were at the other side. That is a speeding up of the time it takes to normally sail across the lake. Interesting. Well, that's in this area of acceleration. How about, I like this one. How about Joshua, whenever he was fighting that battle and daylight was a-burning? You know what I'm talking about? And he commanded the sun to stand still. And God, in this case, it wasn't an acceleration. It was a slowing down of time. In other words, God got into the realm of nature and altered the laws of nature and the normal, ordinary course of nature. And in this case, slowed it down so he had more time. Praise the Lord. Now, go with me to Psalm chapter number 91. Time is short. Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
Go over to Psalm chapter number 91. Well, I tell you what. Before you go there, let's just follow the Holy Ghost on this. Go over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Just digging around in here. Revelation's coming. You remember what God said by the Spirit through Pastor Nancy, this acceleration will come through Revelation. You're going to understand that better by the end of this service. But let's go here to 2 Peter. We want to go the order the Lord wants to go here. 2 Peter chapter number 2, chapter 2, verse 3. He mentions here some things that have to do with error in ministry regarding finances and so forth. And then he says in verse 3, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That might be big King James Elizabethan language to you that doesn't really register on you. But what he's saying is that some of these things in these end times where judgment just didn't come, and just didn't come, and just didn't come, and just didn't come. There's coming a time right at the end where that which lingered for a long time, all of a sudden, boom, judgment. Speedy. If you look through the Bible, it talks much about a speedy judgment in this time. Everything's going to be sped up. Everything's going to be sped up. But listen to that language. That which a long time was lingering is not going to linger anymore. So this time of acceleration is time when things won't linger.
Amen.
Now that's on the side of judgment, but I don't know if you ever thought about it, but whenever you sow seed and do the right thing, whenever you get the harvest, that's also judgment. Because God, you look up the word judgment, it means to make a decision. And whenever you sow towards the Spirit, God says, now I make a decision, they're going to reap according to the Spirit. And whenever we sow to the flesh, then that reaping will come from the flesh. That's Galatians chapter 6. Isn't that right? But both of them are judgment. We think of judgment just being, you know, fire falling from heaven or something like that. But judgment is just God saying, okay, now they reap. They've been faithful, now they reap. Hallelujah. And so what he's saying here is in the end times, there are things that were lingering a lot, things that just seemed to be lingering, he said, they won't linger anymore. That's what acceleration is, when things don't linger anymore. Hallelujah. That which we've been endeavoring to get into and endeavoring to get into in the things of the Spirit, all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because we've been using our faith. We've been agreeing with God. We've been sowing toward it, believing for it, praying for it, sowing our seed for it. Well, let's go over while we're in 2 Peter here in the second chapter, go over to the third chapter. In the third chapter, verse number 12, just digging around in this area of acceleration. God's talking to some of us.
Yes.
2 Peter 3, look with me at verse number 12. He made this statement in in this verse, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, whereof the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The King James says, looking for and hasting unto that the coming of that day. Listen to some other translations. It says in the NIV, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Speed its coming. New Living Translation says, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. Living Bible, you should look forward to that day and hurry it along. So he's telling us that it's possible to speed up the return of Jesus. We have a part. We have a part. Let that sink in speeding up Jesus' return. What is our part? Well, remember the Bible says in Matthew 24, this gospel will be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. Yeah. So helping get the gospel out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By being faithful to our local church, bringing our tithes. Somebody can say, what are you down there at church all the time for? I mean, it's midweek. What are you down there at midweek for? What are you bringing? What do you give so much money for to the church? You could just say, I'm speeding up the return of Jesus.
Amen.
Speeding up the return of Jesus. Yeah, I'm speeding it up. That's what I'm just reading the Bible. Am I adding anything to that?
No, you're not.
Amen. Speeding it up. In other words, it's possible to speed things along. We know we can delay things and hinder things and slow things down and hinder God, limit God. Well, if that's the case, we can also speed things up by cooperation, by agreement, by faith, by obedience, by yielding to the Holy Ghost. All of these things. Glory to God. Well, now go over to the book of Psalm, chapter number 91.
Amen.
Y'all are quiet tonight. I guess you're getting it. It's sinking in. Psalm 91. This is gonna. Oh, the Lord. I saw this afternoon. I'm thinking, oh Lord Jesus, can I do this without rapturing? Can I preach this without rapturing? Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We've read that verse for years, haven't we?
Yes.
He'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, the secret place is in the Spirit, really.
Yes.
The secret place of the Most High, that's the presence of God. And he's basically saying that he that dwells in the presence of God, or he that dwells in the glory, shall abide under the shadow, which is literally the Hebrew word for defense, of the Almighty, which is the Hebrew for El Shaddai. So what he's saying is, those that dwell in the glory experience El Shaddai. Until you understand El Shaddai and understand what that means, that doesn't excite you. But when you get a revelation of El Shaddai and what it means, you'll start realizing, whoa, I get it. And here's what El Shaddai means. Basically, I mean, without going into all of it, we could just simplify it. The all-sufficient one.
Yeah.
The all-sufficient one. The one who is sufficient to take care of you. Who can get it done, the one who has what it takes to get it done, to bring what he has, all the power he needs to get it done, to bring to pass one of his covenant promises, one of his covenant words to his covenant people, he can get it done. And if there's no resources in the natural to get it done, he can step outside of the natural and get it done by supernatural intervention in the area of the natural. He's all sufficient. Beyond just limitations of the natural, he can step outside of the natural and get and bring to pass one of the things he's spoken to you about with his power, even if he's got to do it by miraculous power.
Amen.
And one of those ways he can do it is a just time.
Yes.
Speed things up. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. Now, that doesn't maybe excite you, but you'll get it here. Go to Romans chapter number 4.
Glory be to God.
Romans chapter number 4.
Yeah.
The revelation.
Yeah.
Romans 4, look with me at verse 19 and 20. Talking about Abraham and his faith, God had said some things to him. We know the context, what he had said. I have made thee a father of many nations. God said that to Abraham. His name was Abram, changed it to Abraham, which means a father of a multitude. He's married to Sarah. Miss Sarah hadn't been able to conceive children. And now Sarah's in her old age, past the time of conceiving children, bearing children. And God comes on the scene in all his gall and says, you're going to have a child. And by that child, there's going to be a multitude on the earth. And they're going to bless, you know, the world. Primarily, you know, through the Messiah, through Jesus, but so forth and so on. So here he is. God says something outlandish, you know, beyond possible in the natural. I mean, Sarah's. I like what a minister said one time. Sarah was beyond menopause, and she was in menostop. You know. Not possible. And God comes on the scene and says, hey, Daddy, you're a father of many nations. And Abraham's like, and you know what they did? The Bible said they laughed. We read these verses we're getting ready to read, and we have the idea without reading the Old Testament, as soon as God came on the scene and said that to him, that Abraham in all his faith said, be it unto me according to your word. And they conceived, and within 9 months they had a baby. Not true. When God first spoke to them, they both laughed.
Yeah.
It wasn't a laugh of belief and faith. It was a laugh like, oh yeah, right. This old man, that old lady, nope, ain't gonna happen. Man, oh, stop, man. It's done. Too late. Too late. Hello. But God said, look here at Romans 4. Look at verse number 19. We know this, and so we won't read it all. But let's just start in verse 19. Being not weak in faith. Now, remember, he didn't start out this way. But he got to the place he was not weak in faith. And he didn't consider his own body. You ought to write over that the natural. He didn't consider the natural, his own body. Now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Now underline that, when he was about 100 years old. I didn't notice it for years, but that's big key to that verse right there. When he was about 100 years old. In other words, this didn't happen to where he grew strong in faith, considered not his body, now dead. It didn't happen until he was about 100 years old. So we'll get to that in a moment, look at it more. But who being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body when he was now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider that. What did he consider? He considered what God had said. And then verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Praise the Lord. Now, that part there, he was about 100 years old, is huge revelation in that verse. You might not know why, but go back to Genesis chapter number 17, and you'll get more out of that. Genesis 17, look with me in verse number 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when you find it, say, I found it. All right. When Abraham was 90 years old and 9. Stop right there. How is that about 100 years old? What did it say in Romans? When he was about 100 years old. 99 is as close to 100 as you can get. So that's why Paul in Romans said when he was about 100 years old. He's talking about right here what happened in Genesis 17, verse number 1. So when Abraham was 90 years old and 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Okay, go to the Hebrew, and the Hebrew says, I am El Shaddai. That's the first time God revealed himself in the Old Testament as El Shaddai. Before that, he was Elohim. And if you go back to Genesis 1, he's mentioned in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, in the beginning Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. So he created all nature. Elohim, the creator of all nature. That's who he is. The law first mentions. And so he's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the creator of this natural world we live in. He's the creator of the laws that govern it. He's the creator of nature. And that's all that Abraham knew up until this time. Then God reveals himself when he's 99 years old and says, I am El Shaddai. I am the all-sufficient God. Now, according to Romans 4, this is when he finally got into faith. I don't know the exact details, but if I understand things correctly, God had spoken to him, first of all, about having a son and all that when he was 75 years old. 75 years old. This is 24 years later. He had seen in 24 years zero progression of the plan of God concerning him have a son. No progression. Sarah, go to Walmart, get one of them tests. Nothing. Nothing. Abraham during that time said, I got a plan. Where's Hagar? And he got in the flesh and tried to bring it to pass in the flesh.
Yeah.
Anybody still with me?
Yeah.
Just no progression, no acceleration, nothing happening.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Because of nature, because of the age of their bodies. And because Abraham wasn't believing that anything could happen outside of nature. When God came on the scene at 99 years old and said, I'm not limited to nature. I'm all sufficient. I can step outside of nature and I can do things that nature says can't happen.
That's right. Amen.
Abraham believed that, got into faith, and conceived. Sarah conceived. And in 9 months, it was a year there, between that time and whenever Isaac was born. Why? Because he finally started tapping into the power of the one who can speed things up and do things outside of nature. God said, I can restore what was lost through the passing of time, Abraham. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said, glory to God. God can cause his word to come to pass even if natural laws have to work against themselves. He said, I'm the one that can constrain time, speed up natural laws, override them to fulfill one of the things I've said. Joshua tapped into that and won a battle because the sun stood still. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you getting it tonight? Praise the Lord. And so that's what we're living in. That's the time we're living in. Now, if you study the scriptures carefully, in the book of Acts, there are several times where it says suddenly and something came past. Suddenly there came, in Acts 2, there came a sound from heaven as of the rushing mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You know that story. Suddenly, Saul of Tarsus, his name was changed to Paul, was on the road to Damascus, and a bright light shined around him suddenly and straightened his string out, mm-hmm. got him going another direction.
Right.
And his life was changed, transformed. Hallelujah. That's another suddenly in the book of Acts. Then we've got Acts 26. Paul and Silas are praying and singing praises in the jailhouse, and suddenly there came a great earthquake. Hallelujah. I believe in suddenlies. Don't you believe in suddenlies? Well, all those suddenlies, if you look at them closely, all came as a result of corporate glory coming into the situation. And the day of Pentecost, it didn't just say they were all filled. If you read it closely, the whole room was filled. The whole room was filled. And then on the glory of God shone. Remember whenever the glory of God hit Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, it said that glory shone all around him. And then in Acts 26, they sang and praised God, and the whole place shook. The glory of God filled that whole place. It didn't just come on them. It filled the whole place.
Yes.
Broke chains off and all kinds of stuff. Every one of them is the glory of God. So what do we see? These things that caught the suddenlies in the book of Acts, they all came as a result of the glory in manifestation.
Amen.
I said they all came as a result of the glory in manifestation. And so the Lord's talking to us about an acceleration in the Spirit. Things that will be accelerated in this time in the Spirit. I like a story back in the book of Numbers, the 17th chapter. Some of you might be familiar with it. There was some discussion among some of the some of Moses' people under Moses helping him, and about who was the greatest among them, who was supposed to be, you know, I forget what it was, some position. But God said, all right, tell all these guys to get an almond stick and cut it off and stick it in the temple for overnight. And whoever's stick, this is just a dead stick, whoever's stick in the night, in the glory, whoever's stick shoots out leaves, blossoms, and produces almonds overnight, that's the one that I've chosen. And they got in there in the morning and pulled them all out, and Aaron's had blossomed, had put leaves out, a stick, a dead stick, put leaves out, blossomed, and produced almonds all in one night. All in one night. Where did that happen? They laid those sticks in the glory of God during the night. Hello? What's that? Acceleration. Normally that takes months. And normally you got to put the stick in the ground and get it to grow roots and grow and become alive first, you know. But God just, see, he went all around nature and just and made nature work against itself and made it speed itself up and bring things to pass that would normally take months to come to pass. Where'd that happen? In the glory of God. I've been in services, get out under the power of God and walk out of there changed, totally changed. Amen. Totally changed. Totally going a new direction. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That's the time we're living in. I said, that's the time we're living in. I'm excited. Are you excited? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. What's your job? That's a acceleration is a principle in the natural realm, just like it's a principle in the spiritual realm. Remember, we talked at the beginning about natural things illustrating spiritual things. In the realm of nature, there's such a thing as acceleration and momentum, and that momentum keeps things moving. You know, an object in motion tends to stay in motion. How many of you know all these natural laws and everything? And those principles are true when it comes to spiritual things as well. There must be a momentum of faith that is continued by saying this, saying this, saying this, in order to bring this momentum and acceleration into operation.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I've told my congregation, they see things in our lives that some of them are still trying to figure out how on earth to get that to work for them. But I told them, I say it to them over and over again. I say, what you're watching, what you're seeing in my life, my wife's life, the blessings of God, you're seeing the result of the momentum of faith for 32, now about 33 years of faith. This didn't start happening for us as a result of we just woke up one morning and made a confession, and all of a sudden we started walking where we are. We kept saying it, kept saying it. Amen.
Amen.
You know how you get it home? You keep on saying it.
Yeah.
You keep on saying it, and the momentum builds, and acceleration builds, and things start happening. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so, you know, like a jet plane, those jet engines have to keep on going to keep that air moving over the wings, to keep things moving. You shut off the engines, the momentum stops, the acceleration slows, things start going down. And that's the same way with the law of faith. You and I've got to mix faith with this. So we're doing that. Can you say that with me? We're moving with the acceleration. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You can set things in motion in reverse.
Yeah.
I remember years ago. Can I tell you two more stories before we go?
Sure.
Years ago, I'll never forget this. This taught me a lot. When I say years ago, this is probably like 92, 93 or something like that. We were traveling at that time in the traveling ministry, and I was at a pastor's house. They actually were out of town, some good friends of ours. We were preaching for them. We were just staying in their house, and I don't even know why I said it. I mean, you know, sometimes you just have to ask yourself, what made me stupid like that? But we were getting ready to go somewhere, and I walked over into the room where my wife was, and I said, you know what? I said, I don't think we'll ever have a jet airplane for our ministry. She kind of looked at me kind of funny, and I just walked back over into the room where I was, and the Spirit of God spoke up in my heart, and he said, don't start setting that in motion now. I was like, whoa. I got corrected. Don't start setting that in motion now. Well, I started thinking about that. Motions. Don't start setting. And what he was saying was, if I start saying that, it just sets the wrong thing in motion. And I thought, wait a minute, I can say the right thing and set it in motion. And I started thinking about motion and things moving and how he said that you can say to the mountain, be thou removed. And, you know, there's a lot of, I can say to things, go and they go and come and they come. You know, Luke 7, and there's so much in the Bible about that and faith moving things. Faith moving things. And so we've been saying that. We've been saying that. And we've had some progress on some of those things. But, and now we're just starting to get to the place where we're even starting to need it, you know. But the point, another thing I wanted to say was, have you ever heard that story where Brother Hagin went to that place to minister to a man? He was asked by the family to minister to a man who was in a coma. I believe the family knew the Hagins, were friends of the family, if I heard the story right. But this one of their sons went into a coma, and they called for Brother Hagin to ask him if he would come and minister to him because he's in the hospital in a coma. So Brother Hagin went in, and he laid his hands on him and began to pray, but the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, spiritual laws have been set in motion and cannot be reversed at this time. Cannot be reversed at this time. Release his spirit and let him come on home. Anybody ever heard that story? Brother Hagin at the time was not sure what that meant, what the Spirit of God meant, have been set in motion. But he just obeyed, released his spirit. I believe it was the next day or two or whatever. He went on home to be with the Lord, that young man. He was only 39 years old. 39 isn't old enough to die. So, but I believe it was at the funeral, if I heard the story right, that some of the family came, because he had told the family what the Spirit of God said to him. And I believe it was at the funeral, some of the family came and said, you probably wonder what that means. You know, spiritual laws have been set in motion. And they said what that meant was, from the time he was young, he would say, I'm not going to live past the age of 40. And that's what that meant. He had set it in motion. He had said that. Now, later, in later years of life, I mean, in later years after hearing that story, we were preaching out at a... We started our traveling ministry. God put us on the road, and we got to a church. We were preaching. I had met the pastor one time, but never really knew him much. And we were preaching there. And I got in the course of conversation. I don't remember how it came up, but he said, that was my brother. That young man, that Brother Hagin tells that story. That was my brother. I said, your brother? I said, tell me the story. Tell me more details about it. He said, we were just kids, you know, growing up together. Of course, kids are kids, just goofing off, playing around. He said, just young kids. I forget how old he said. Just started young. Just a young whippersnapper, you know. And we'd be playing around, goofing off, doing something. And he said, my brother would just stop and get serious. We had been just goofing off, but he'd stop and get serious. He'd look at me real serious and said, you know, I'll never live past the age of 40. He started saying that as a young kid. And then he'd go back to goofing off again. But he just started saying that. What made him say that, I don't know. But he shouldn't have been saying that because he said it in motion. He got to 39, went into a coma, and before he hit 30, I mean, before he hit 40 years old, he was gone. God didn't do that. He did that. I said, he did that. Well, let's not set the wrong things in motion. Amen. Spiritual laws govern these things. Spiritual laws govern acceleration. Let's stand together. Let's declare what we're believing for. I said, let's declare what we're believing for. I'm believing for some acceleration of some things. Amen. Hallelujah. Before we do. Yep, Lord, I got to do that. Yes, thank you for reminding me. I was just leaving the hotel tonight to come here, and the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, there will be two people there tonight who, because of choices in years gone by, and things they had set in motion, that they would have not lived the length of time they should have. But he said, because of choices in more recent time, and because of making some adjustments, he said, I will add to their life so they have the time to finish their course down here. because they would not have finished their course. They would have gone on to heaven without finishing their course. And I'm like, well, Lord, I don't know how to tell who that is. But he said, just deliver the message. I'll speak to them in their heart. They'll know who they are. Hallelujah. Doesn't it pay to go to the right church? Because you can get things back on track. You know what that is? Restoration. Glory. So whoever that is, you'll know it in your spirit. And make your claim and say, okay, now, Lord, you're going to have to give me more time. I'll get this done down here. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord can, because those individuals would have gone on into glory and maybe not gotten much of a reward. And the Lord's basically saying, I'm going to give you the time now because of those choices you made. I'm going to give you the time so that when you enter into heaven, you have a more glorious entrance into heaven.
Yeah.
All because you went to the right church. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you that comes to pass according to the way you said it for those two individuals. Yeah, go so cool. Life to their flesh. I speak life to their flesh in the name of Jesus. Those added years. I speak those added years. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we agree for the acceleration of the plan. We declare. Thank you, Father. It's things are speeding up now. Things are speeding up now. Those things which have been delayed, those things which have been hindered, those things which lingered, those things, I see that. Masukuye, yele boto. For this ministry. Oh, the pace has been good since Dr. Dufresne went to heaven, but now it's sped up. Now the progression of the plan. Now the progression of the move. Now it's sped up. In this year, it's sped up. Progression at a quicker pace. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you. Give God some glory for it. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you. Quickening pace. A hastening of harvest off seed sown. A quickening of finances coming in. Hastening of it. Masakite, Manzagule, Masakaye. Thank you, Father. Moshakai. Olaguliana Masaki. Now, a hastening. Masakai of that phase of ministry. Masakite. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for hastening the spiritual pace, hastening the pace of financial flow. Oh, Sakaye, we declare acceleration. We declare an acceleration by revelation of El Shaddai.
Yes, amen.
We declare restoration of those things which belong to this ministry but have not been seen. We declare they're restored. And they're restored at a hastened pace. Yes. Yes. Boshtekidi. Yendo kito papa shaka ta 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 shaka. O gera masate tisho koginda brasakite. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me say this. Staff, put your seatbelt on. I mean, stick right with Pastor Nancy. Stick right with Pastor Morgan and Stephen and all the ones that are leading you. Stick right with them. I mean, stay full of the Holy Ghost. Don't be a drag. Be an engine behind them going, yeah, we're going to add some fuel to the fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak in your faith. Don't just get up speaking your faith over your personal faith list every morning. Speak your faith over what they're believing for here at the ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Copeland said that academy will come quickly. In the name of Jesus, it'll come quickly. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! did it. I preached myself happy. Somebody needs to dance. Somebody needs to dance. Woo!